Mechanism is one way. I would say another one is...
So what you're saying is you're going to determine what is the truth. It's not because somebody says it's the truth. You have to find out whether it is true.
But let me finish my ways. Right. So I said that you can either do it you can either intuit it. So in other words, it can be something intuitive, like the existence of man. It can either be something which is logically reasoned, like, for example, from first principles. And I would put underneath that, or next to it, mathematical truths.
Okay.
Right. So I would say mathematical truths are also something which can be proven if you put things together.
One way or another, regardless of the categories.
Yeah.
You're finding there are ways to find out what is true.
Right. And I would argue that you can do that.
The important point there.
Yes.
Is that you don't call it truth if you can't show that it's true.
Absolutely.
Would it be dishonest?
Yes.
To claim something is the truth.
Yes.
It's not.
Yes.
So that's where I draw the line. I may believe something very strongly, but I won't say it's the truth unless I can show that it's true.
Right.
Because I think it's dishonest to do otherwise.
I'll be honest with you, Aaron. I believe that our conception, because I know that you might... Sorry, I apologize. Can I stand there? All right. Sorry, I apologize, man. I understand that you might have...
I'm going to have to go quick.
But... Yeah, well, I will make this very quick. So I understand, Aaron, that you might have encountered a lot of Christian fundamentalists and things like that. I want to say, from an Islamic perspective, our conception of God, Allah, that you got on your shirt, right, is completely different from that of the Christian God, right? In that it's not triune, it's not Jesus being, you know, God or the Son of God and so on. So what I would say is that, bearing that in mind, and bearing in mind that our understanding of God is an incorporeal, immaterial, one necessary being, which is independent, I would say that that can be proved from first principles, Aaron. And I can prove that to you right now.
You can prove God exists.
Yeah, from first principles. And I'm not saying God exists in the vernacular, once again, thinking about any particular God.
There are all these eminent philosophers who are atheists. How is that possible?
No, it's possible that people can believe in false beliefs, right?
Yeah.
Just because people believe in atheism, it doesn't mean it's true.
It's definitely possible. I'm talking to an Muslim. Yeah, of course it's possible.
Well, anyone can make a claim. Well, you have to ascertain
the claim. By the way, I want to invite you to something, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I do a semi-regular video series where I read a few surahs of the Quran.
Right.
I write a blog post with my impression of them. I'm only a third of the way into the book. Right. And then I have a video hangout with a number of, up to this point, they've been mostly ex-Muslims. I had one believer. And they correct me on what I got wrong, because I don't know anything about the Hadith.
The Quran, all right, no
problem.
I read
the tafsirs as much as I can to try to get, you know.
No, I'm happy to assist with that.
All right.
Yeah, and I'll give you my number before you leave.
But I'm about to leave. So.
No. Just listen. I want to say one thing, and then you can kind of challenge it if you want. What I was going to say is, do you agree that there are contingent things in existence, things that depend upon other things for their existence, and things which could be arranged in any other way?
No, I'm not sure of that.
For example, right? You're wearing a T-shirt. The T-shirt that you're wearing depends on some kind of material, and it could be rearranged in any other. It could be blue. It could have been green or yellow.
Okay.
Right. So. Those things are in existence. Contingent things, possible things are in existence.
Contingent possible things are in existence.
Yes.
Okay. All right. If it's possible.
Now here's my postulation. My only postulation today. My postulation is that it's impossible for there to be a world where there are only possible things in existence. And I'll tell you why how I reason that. I reason that.
Josh, I disagree.
Josh, we can talk about it afterwards.
No, but I want to hear your reasoning.
Well, you don't have to agree or disagree. Look,
I want to hear your reasoning.
Look.
You already believe in God, right?
I do, but I don't think that argument's
good. I bet
good.
He's
no problem.
You
don't have to believe it's good, Josh. I'm speaking to Aaron, if you don't mind. So what I was going to say was, the reason why only possible things cannot be in existence is because you have the absurdity of dependent things depending upon dependent things ad infinitum. And so you have compounding dependency. In other words, there's no necessary reason for anything to come into existence in particular. So in other words, my postulation is as follows. My postulation is that there must be a necessary being through which all other dependent things, all other contingent things, depend on in order for there to be any existence in the first place. Now, here's my question to you.
If you say there must be a necessary, well, that's a tautology, it's necessary, right? It must be. But you haven't said
how's that
why there must be. And you also said there can't be a world where there are only possible things.
I'll tell you why.
That's implying that there's a world where there are impossible things.
No, absolutely not. So, okay, you've got three categories, right? Absolutely right. You've got impossible things like a squared circle which cannot be in existence. We agree with that, right? Me and you agree. A squared circle cannot exist in the real world. Then you have things which are contingent, things which are possible, things which could have otherwise been differently, or which, if you take out of creation, the creation doesn't collapse. These things are dependent things, they're contingent things, all right? Then you have, and this is what my postulation is, you must have a necessary being that puts all other contingent things into existence and through which it can depend on. Otherwise, you have the absurdity of dependent things depending upon dependent things ad infinitum. Now, what I'm saying is, as simple as this, right? From my perspective, I could not imagine, it's not possible. I would say it's logically unfeasible from a epistemological perspective for there to be a world with only dependent things. Can you explain how there could be a world with only dependent things? And first of all, that's the first question.
I don't see it as that. Even when we have the symbiosis, there's an evolution to get there.
So it
doesn't always start out that way.
Right. So what I'm saying is, no problem. So would you agree with me that there's a necessary existence that puts all other possible things into existence?
No.
Why not?
Because there's no indication of it.
Do you know what the indication of that is?
What?
Do you know what the indication of that is? Let me tell you what the indication...
Obviously not.
Right. So say, for example, let me put this in mathematical terms. Say you have a series.
You're not going to help if you go there.
you don't know, right? So you say you have a series. And in that series, you have possible things in that series. Possible one, possible two, possible... Or call it dependent thing, contingent thing, whatever you want to call it.
Does this argument work on you?
Are you talking about the mathematical object of a series?
Yes, like a set.
Just studied this.
No problem.
What is this,
right? A series
is... Okay, why are you saying there are possible objects in the series?
No, let me explain to you. I'm using a cosmological example, right, which is an example which makes reference to the universe, but putting it in a mathematical term. I'm not saying, right?
Right, I study physics, that's exactly
very good. Oh, no, but that's good. So what I'm saying is that, for example, Aaron, listen to me. What I'm saying is, it's very simple, right?
If you have a number of false premises, then you're going to get to a false conclusion. That's what I'm reading so far.
Okay, so... premise one, impossible, or let's say postulation one, impossible things can't be in existence. A squared circle can't be in existence. Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed. All right.
Impossible means impossible.
All right. Okay. A possible thing, like for example, this hat. It's got NY on it, right? Sorry. Is it?
Sure, my bald head. Yeah. What are you doing?
All right. It's got.
See this guy? You want to pull a hat on his head? Okay.
New York, right? Now this hat could have had on it LA. Yes. It could have had on it LA, right? It could have been a blue. It could have been a green hat. Now that. So in other words, this cap that he's got on his head is a possible contingent thing. I'm sure you're aware of this argument, right? Okay, I'm sure. Right.
Wondering if it's going to go.
It didn't have to exist. Right. Now, a necessary fact is 2 plus 2 equals 4. Agreed?
Okay.
Because that fact, 2 plus 2 equals 4, could not be any other way.
We're not changing the axioms.
Because that's the only person who would.
We're not changing. We could go to Godel. We can go to and that. But for the sake of argument, we're saying 2 plus 2 equals 4.
Okay.
Unless we want to really make this an absurd argument or go crazy.
Okay.
Is 2 plus 2 equals 4 is a necessary fact? So in other words, it's eternally going to be 2 plus 2 is always going to be 4.
Okay.
Right. So a necessary fact is something which could not be any other way.
Okay.
In the context of existence, what I'm saying is that you have possible existences. And you must have a necessary existence. Because if you have only possible existences, which could be any other way, then it's conceivable that this world would have been any other way. This universe could have been any other way.
Just within this galaxy, and there are billions of galaxies, so every other way is probably out there.
Oh, perfect. So you're agreeing that this universe could have been any other way?
No, I'm saying that there's all kinds of variations.
Yeah, right. So you agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Even if your argument
we can talk about Christianity later.
Even if your argument works, there's a gap between a necessary being and God. So even
no,
if
not for me.
No, I'm saying even if you establish
for you, bro.
Even if you establish
you're a Christian.
A necessary.
No, that's the thing.
No. I'm not saying Christianity. I'm saying theism.
No.
Even if you say there
can
is
we talk about
being.
That? Can we do one thing
no,
at a time?
I'm just saying
because we're talking to an atheist.
No, but I'm saying just because I just want a clarification.
Yeah.
You can establish the necessary existence of this being. Okay.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that there has to be that being.
But we haven't done that yet with him. So can we do that?
The properties of God.
No. But we can have that's a separate discussion, Josh. We can have that.
Side effect if you're trying to prove God to an atheist. You're deconverting a Christian in the process.
No, yes.
I just think it's good arguments for God's existence, and I don't think the ontological arguments. That's what I would just say.
That's fine, bro. That's fine.
But
you understand. Now, the point I'm making to you is, if you have a world of only possible existences, nothing.
Which, of course, that's
nothing.
The only thing you could have.
No, you can't have that.
But no, you can only have a world of possible existence, because obviously you can't have impossible existence.
No. You're juxtaposing the word possible with impossible. I agree with you.
I think that's correct.
Aaron,
there's a third category called necessary.
Yes, yeah, exactly, right?
But, I mean...
Yes, go ahead.
Apart from mathematical truths...
Yes.
Which are only true because we've got a logical system of axioms we've built up, what do you consider a necessary...
thing. All right, excellent. So that's a really good question. So we said 2 plus 2 equals 4 is a necessary fact. It will always be 2 plus 2 equals 4 eternally, right?
But why do you call it necessary?
Necessary because it couldn't be any other way.
Well, what's
your name? What's your name?
Julia.
It's not what
he's relying on. He said you can't have
by the way, it's not. This is not what I call it. This is what Leibniz called it. It's what Gödel calls it. It's what Avicenna calls it. It's what Farabi calls it. Everybody said it calls it necessary existence. So it's not. I'm not calling it anything. I'm just bringing it back what's in the literature.
Regardless of the names you throw out, anybody that you might have read, you have to understand the argument and be able to convey that argument. So it doesn't matter that some other people.
Well, I've written a book on it actually. It's called Kalam Cosmological Arguments. You can buy it if you want. It's actually a bestseller now in the atheist section. It's overtaken God Delusion. So I think I have. Understood the argument. Okay. It's been peer reviewed as well. You can check it out.
He's not understanding.
That's not my fault. You're meant to be an atheist specialist.
Right.
So if you don't understand the argument, you're one of the figureheads of new atheism. Okay. If you don't understand the argument, then there's only one thing I can do is I can try and relay the argument. But it's not my fault that you don't understand.
Going?
Let me say one more time. Let me make it as easy as possible. Right. Say you have a phone. This is a phone. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, let me make this as simple as possible. Is it dependent on something? It's dependent on charge. I have to put the charger inside, yes?
Well, the existence of the phone isn't dependent on charge.
Not the existence of... the functioning. We're just... good, excellent. Thank you for that.
Does this get any better from here?
Yeah, it does. You have to be patient.
I'm losing that. I should have gone already.
Aaron, if I was listening to something you're saying, I was trying to get what you're saying, right? We all have to be patient with each other for learning to take place.
Okay, you had time then?
All right.
I had time then.
Aaron, this phone... has charge in it.
Okay.
If you put, it requires a charger in order to be charged. Now say for example, I connect this phone to another phone. Yes, with a wire. I put this phone to another phone, on a wire, right? You got this phone, another phone, in a wire, right? And then you got that phone with another phone in the wire. Say you got three phones, right? You have three phones. If you have three phones, what will eventually happen to the functionality of the phones? That the charge will run out. Would you agree with me?
So what's this to do with necessity and possibility?
Bro, can you allow me to finish, bro?
Josh,
you're just poisoning the world, bro. Everyone can see what you're doing.
It's looking cheap. No, Muhammad, all I'm saying...
As a Christian, you should just...
We'll have the discussion later,
bro.
It's not about Christianity in Islam. It's about what is a good argument or not.
Let me make it then.
I think you clarified the point.
Josh, let me speak about it. Let me make the argument and then you can judge.
I'm
just in the middle of...
What is your analogy to do with necessity?
Well, let me finish. Well, you haven't let me finish, have you? If you don't let someone finish and then you say it's not good, then that's actually disingenuity. All right, so you've got three phones. Say, for example, all of them got charged, right? So I connect this phone to another phone and this phone to another phone. Now, what will happen if I connect all three of them to allow them all to charge using each other's energies? Eventually, they all run out of charge. We all agree. And the reason why is because they're all dependent. The phone is dependent. The charge of the phone, the analogy here is the charge of the phone. The charge of the phone is dependent, yes? Now what I'm saying is, if you have a world only of limited, dependent things, all of them will depend upon another thing, and if this is in the context of existence, you would not have existence, because you have to have something which depends upon nothing in order for everything else to exist. Does that make sense? So in other words, in our example and analogy, you have to have an infinite power source.
What does an atom depend on for existence?
So we were going back to what we just said, the necessary existence. That existence,
okay,
that...
You haven't shown yet that things aren't also possible things, that those two categories...
What I've shown is that possible or contingent things, by definition, are dependent. This phone is dependent on another phone for charge. That phone on another phone for charge, if we connect them, right? Just let me finish. If you have three of them, if you have five of them, if you have 10 of them, then they're all going to be dependent on each other. Now, what's going to eventually happen with the phones? They're going to run out of charge. What I'm saying to you is that the functionality of the phone's charge here is analogous to existence, in my analogy. And also, not a perfect analogy. You can destroy the analogy if you want. But what I'm saying is that this is my only thing that I can try and draw it closer to you. So if things which are dependent depend upon dependent things ad infinitum, unless there's an infinite power source somewhere in the equation, there will not be any existence. And what I'm saying is that the infinite power source, if you like, or the necessary existence that we refer to, is God. Now, we call it God.
What if it's not an infinite power source?
It can't be, right? It has to be.
Why?
Because otherwise nothing else would be in existence.
Okay, you haven't shown that any...
Yeah, go on, Julie. Do you understand this point? Do you get it?
We as organisms all perfect. Get our energy from the sun. Right?
Yes, good.
And that
excellent.
Doesn't have to be infinite.
No, hold on. This is a very good example. So we're in, for example, an ecosystem, right? You've got human beings, you've got animals, whatever you want. All of that is dependent upon the sun, yes? Mm-hmm. The sun itself...
It's not infinite.
It's not infinite, but the sun itself is dependent upon other things.
What?
Other suns.
Other suns, other galaxies,
How is our sun dependent on other suns?
It depends on the laws of physics. It's dependent upon a range of factors. Helium. If you don't have helium, you couldn't have a sun. You have to have different... If you break down the sun, we agree, right? So the sun is dependent, and we agree, yeah?
Okay. Okay. I think the your argument is that you haven't shown that the fundamental...
Julia, can we stick... Sorry, before you... Before you continue, he understands this. Well, I just want him to fully understand the argument. He's already nearly there. What you said is that the sun is not dependent on something else. We've shown that actually it is, right? So the whole universe now, there's only two ways you can go.
And none of it is infinite.
No problem. Is the universe dependent or independent?
The way that you're talking about, the sun having to have fuel and helium. If I take that, then if the sun is dependent on other things.
Yes, fine.
And it's
perfect.
Not infinite.
So, excellent.
And not necessary.
Right. So, the same thing now. So, what we need to have, because that chain will continue going. Dependent things can't depend upon dependent things ad infinitum. You have to have something which is necessary.
Yeah, of course. All I'm saying is that there is it's impossible, it's logically inconceivable that dependent things can depend upon dependent things ad infinitum. All I'm saying
that's
is that
they're not infinite.
Nobody claims that.
Yeah.
Nobody
claims
fundamental that. Particles don't depend on anything.
Pardon?
Can you prove to me that fundamental particles depend on anything?
All right, I'm out of here.
Yes. Okay. They depend upon other things. Of course
how?
They do. Well, come here and you prove to me that they don't. Come.
You're the one trying to prove something to me. The burden of proof is on
no,
you.
No. I've said, you've just made a claim, actually. You said that... Julia, sorry.
Necessarily for Julia, your argument, you need to prove a thing.
No, you said, right. You said that particles don't depend on anything. Can you prove that for me, please?
No, I've said that for your argument to hold, you need to show that fundamental particles don't depend on anything. Okay?
All right, so here's the thing. What you and Aaron couldn't deal with is, and this is the new atheist movement, subhanAllah, the new atheist movement is crumbling right in front of me. One by one, every single one of them cannot deal with this argument. And it's not because of, by the way, it's I can't believe it. Like, you know, it really, all it took was just a little bit of bringing out an argument, and the whole new atheist movement in front of my very eyes is crumbling.
Could you, instead of preaching, make your argument?
No, I will make my argument, Julia.
Grandstanding, not preaching.
Yes, sorry.
Pardon?
Grandstanding, not preaching. Don't worry,
yeah. So what I was going to say, Julia, is you said... Particles don't depend on anything.
I'm
right?
talking about fundamental
particles.
No, can you prove that? I'm telling you that for your argument to hold, you need to show that fundamental particles don't depend on anything. That's
Julia,
all I'm saying.
Well, you said, Julia. You said right here and right now, and it was on the camera. I'm not a liar.
I say I believe that that's the case.
Okay, can you prove it?
I can't prove it.
So why are you making a claim?
No, because I'm telling you that for your argument to hold, you need to show that's the case. That fundamental particles depend on something.
Okay, they depend upon the laws of nature. Disprove me.
Wait, no.
Oh, wait a minute, no.
No. What do you mean they depend on the laws of nature?
The laws of physics.
Which are
presupposed by the study of science.
No. Can you tell me what the laws of physics are?
There are many. If you want to go and see a book on it, I'll direct you.
Okay, no.
You don't
I'm somebody who studies physics. Right, I want you to tell me what you think the laws of physics are, because physicists don't know. That's
okay,
the problem.
Okay, well, let me answer your question. As someone who studies physics, you're still an undergrad, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you're in your first year?
Yes, I am.
All right, so someone like Martin Rees has wrote a book on just six numbers.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, so we should know, because this is a person who's actually outlined the six fundamental constants, or among them, for example, N. N he calls nature. He actually calls it N for nature, and he says that is, and that's what he was talking about, the numbers that detail the laws of nature. For example, he mentions six different numbers, E, N.
Those are numbers of mathematics rather than physics.
They're physics. What university did you
study? Imperial College London.
Okay, so I'm sure you're clever enough to know that when physics, when mathematics is applied to the cosmos, it's called physics. You've just done your A levels.
Mathematics. I'm from Germany. I did my Abitur.
Okay, you've done that. So you know the deal, right? So I don't have to tell you that. I mean, I'm not a physicist, but you should know this.
Well, I know that physics is an attempt to mathematically describe the universe.
There you
the
have
best
it.
So, we have so is the standard said. Model.
So good. Martin Rees said that. He got six numbers. He said, what are the rules? It can be described in different ways. Martin Rees has got his standard
What are
weight.
Those numbers except for E?
And he's got E equals N equals nature, which he said that...
Which is mathematically meaningless.
No, let me explain. Well, I think mathematically, he actually gave a number, which is 0.07.
What significance does 0.07 have?
Is it called physics when mathematics is applied to the universe or not?
Yes.
Okay, so when he says 0.07 is a number N, which is applied to the universe, is that physics
How
or not?
Does he apply to the universe?
Well, he looks at, look at E, for example, right?
Yes, E comes from mathematics.
Right, so he says that that's the conversion of helium into energy, for example.
No, E is, I mean, if we're talking about Euler's constant.
Epsilon.
Epsilon.
Whatever it is.
Well, epsilon gets used for a lot of different things.
Right, so he used it in his own way, and he gives his own articulation of it. Go and check the preface of this book or the introduction.
Okay, look.
What you're saying is
that there are seven numbers which are important.
Six.
Six, okay.
According to Martin Rees.
Six numbers are important.
Right.
How does this relate to the fundamental particles?
No, your question was that particles... don't depend on anything. They're independent. I'm saying to you...
No, I'm saying you have to show that.
Do you believe that particles are independent?
Of what?
You said just... Please, don't retract your argument. Because I'm... Watch this, Josh. This is what Christian missionaries need to learn. Now, you're saying that particles are independent. Yes or no?
I'm saying they're fundamental kind of particles.
No, because you were trying to interrupt me when I was
speaking. I'm saying that to the best of my knowledge, there are a certain amount of fundamental... What I'm basing this off is the standard model, which is the best model we have for the universe right now. It is incomplete. All physicists admit that it's incomplete.
No problem. But Julia, you said that particles, fundamental particles, don't depend on anything.
Definitionally, they're not composed of anything else.
No. You said, unless you want to retract that statement, which is what every atheist does when they're in front of me, now you said that fundamental particles don't depend on anything.
I believe that to be the case.
Right.
I do not claim that as
perfect,
truth.
Perfect. Now, do you believe that fundamental particles don't depend on anything?
I believe that to be the case.
Excellent.
But I'm not claiming that
Julia,
that's true.
Thank you for saying that, because now what you've shown is that you believe in the existence of an independent being. But the only thing is... No, hold on. The only thing is now...
Do you know
now,
how many fundamental particles
No problem. But you accept, because before you were saying there's no such thing as a necessary thing. You're saying now there is... No, hold on, Julie. And you're going to retract your statement because that's what every atheist does in front of me. You said...
You're putting words in my mouth.
No, it's on camera. You said you believe... You just said it two minutes ago. You just said you believe that fundamental particles are not dependent on anything. By definition, what you're effectively saying is you believe fundamental particles are independent. Now, what I'm saying
technically,
is...
Technically, what I mean when I say fundamental
don't
particle
say what you mean.
Is...
That's what you meant.
No. I'm just explaining what the standard model says.
Right, okay, go ahead.
Fundamentally...
Yeah.
According to quantum field theory, fundamental particles are essentially just energy spikes in
no
a
problem.
Field.
But your belief... And
so they sort of depend on energy.
Julia, you shouldn't have come here today and tried to challenge me. Because what you've done... No, seriously, you should really think about it before you come and stand and make claims without revising it.
I've told you what you need to show me.
Julia, I don't need to show you anything.
Yes, you do.
You shouldn't have come here, because what you've done now is you've given me exactly what I wanted. In the beginning, you said that I have to prove that there's a necessary independent being. Now you've just said you believe that fundamental particles are not dependent on... Your words exactly. You believe. You said, I believe.
Yeah.
Fundamental particles are not dependent on anything. Now, all I'm saying as a Muslim is that my understanding of...
Let me finish.
No. Your God... Your God is a neuro... Is that... The only difference between my God and your God is size. That's the only difference. Honestly, you need to understand, you're not an atheist anymore in front of me. I've converted you straight to Islam. The only thing you need to do... No. All you need to know and believe in is the right attributes of God and the Prophet Muhammad as the messenger.
So, obviously,
if you want to believe in Jesus...
Is Muhammad the prophet, the messenger of a neuron, of an electron,
a
photon?
No, listen to me. You said that...
And also, I will
Julie, now you don't need to add anything. You've given me exactly what I want to hear.
No.
You
I haven't, because
you said
I
that you believe
repeated
that
from the
fundamental
beginning.
Particles are independent. That's what she said. Not dependent on anything. That's the definition of independence. Now, if you believe in an independent... Now, let me tell you something from an Islamic perspective. And you have to understand this. Can I, let me just finish, sorry.
I think the word independent is very misleading you in this context.
Wait a minute, you said not dependent on anything. How can something be not dependent on anything?
Can
and not
you
independent?
Let me clarify?
Yes, please.
I think the word dependent is very misleading because it, like, fundamentally, even inside the standard model, things are interdependent. They're just interdependent on a fundamental level. And the thing is, I know that the standard model isn't complete, so there is some deeper layer somewhere.
So it's interdependent.
Right? Oh yeah, they're interdependent.
So what fundamental particles are interdependent?
Well, in the sense that everything relies on energy to some extent. I know, as I said, particles are essentially just expressions of energy in a quantum field.
Julie, thank you. You're contradicting yourself. Because interdependence entails dependence. If you're saying that fundamental particles are interdependent, you're saying it's dependent. Then you said that it's not dependent on anything. That's
mouth.
A contradiction. Either you want to believe in this or that.
You're
and that's what
words
atheists
in
do.
My mouth.
Josh, this is what atheists do. Yeah. Julie, is there anything you want to add? Sorry, we're done here. Is there anything
you want to
add? Yes, of course.
You're talking about complete. It's pity that people that give you a chance to give your full argument. It's the full argument.